Chiefs Kingdom. It's the day after the Chiefs have wrapped the preseason up with their win against the Minnesota Vikings. And I don't know, it didn't go the way that I thought. This is a bonus episode from certainly a different place. It isn't going to sound or look exactly the same, but we're glad that you're here. Chris, what was your big takeaway from this game?
You know, I think that my big takeaway is that this team is ready to go, and I'm excited about that because I do think that they are in a good spot. I think that you're looking at a team that knows what they're going to do on offense. And honestly, I'm starting to wonder if it's going to be different than I thought maybe earlier this preseason, because I'm starting to wonder if they're going to keep four tight ends.
That's kind of where I'm at now. Now, folks, tomorrow we're going to give you our 53 combined. That's going to be interesting because that's where it's starting to lie for me. That comment on the broadcast kind of led me to believe that at least the broadcast team feels that the team feels that Jody Forson has a spot. And then obviously Blake Bell kind of earned himself, you know, a tick in the one box that I had concerns about him in his catching ability, but that was a nice concentration grab. So what does that do to the rest
of
the
roster? You realize that route was for Fortson, though.
Right.
That entire play was designed for Fortson. Right. If you watch Mahomes break out to the right, he was looking at Fortson the entire way, and Fortson just wasn't able to shake his guy, unfortunately, because they specifically tried to get that route for him. So to me, that tells me that they want to give him an opportunity in the game, and I'm not going to say he failed because I don't think that's the case. When Mahomes didn't throw the ball, I think that's more of a, okay, well, you didn't get open, but, you know, you didn't cause an interception or not catch the ball either. So,
right. I would agree with that. And honestly, it's a whole lot better than a drop or something like that. And yeah. I felt he made up for it later in the game.
I know I have to say this just because I said it on Twitter, but I know the thing that really made you sad was that they didn't use the fullback on that formation.
Yeah. Next time there's a wrinkle coming for that. Four tight ends and a fullback. Yeah.
And honestly, if you're in an NFL defense and you're trying to defend that, are you expecting to run? I would think you'd have to think that's going to be a run.
Yeah.
But honestly, I almost wonder if you put the fullback in, if it reverses it and makes people think you're going to pass.
I mean, Andy's Andy. You're never going to know. I think you're going to have an opportunity to do what is a check with me at the line and see how they deploy. If they crowd nine onto the box – then I think you have, you know, double outs or a crosser underneath the crossbar or something where you're going to have options that you can do a single word audible and take advantage of how they align.
Check with me. Boy, that brings back memories. if you don't know, we used to have a podcast named Check With Me before we became Locked On Chiefs. You know, I really liked what I saw from a lot of the first team. I liked what I saw from the offensive line. Honestly, I think that the only pressure that Pat really got on him looked like it was coming from a guy that Bell was trying to block by himself. And what was really interesting to me on that specific play was they had Trey Smith pull back across the formation to help Bell.
Yep.
So that was interesting why you would have the right guard coming from the right side of the line all the way back across to help as opposed to somebody else. But, you know, you do what you do, and I thought that they handled it okay. And honestly, nobody was really close to Mahomes unless Mahomes let the throw take him close to somebody.
Mm-hmm. He did a much better job. I was more comfortable with that. You know, we saw a lot of cross-formation blocks from the tight ends the week before. I didn't see quite as many. I'll have to rewatch, and hopefully we'll get a shot at some 22 here if NFL gets everything together, please.
Don't bet on it.
So given that this is a bonus episode, we want to run through who helped themselves, who hurt themselves in this, but your take on four tight ends, is that set in stone for you now, or are you still up in the air?
I'm up in the air. I think that it's going to be very hard if you're going to keep six wide receivers to keep four tight ends, just because I think you have to keep 10 offensive linemen, especially with the injuries there, especially with two guys that potentially could go on IR the day after the 53-man with LDT and Austin Blythe. So I mean, I think you're in a situation where you have to keep 10, and that just is going to make it really hard. And honestly, if I'm Kansas City, and I know this is going to sound weird, but if I'm Kansas City and I am in a roster pinch, I'm cutting Blake Bell. Mm-hmm. And the reason being, I think you can get Blake Bell back the next day. I don't know that somebody wouldn't I don't know that somebody wouldn't claim Jody Fortson or any of the other tight ends. Obviously, you're not cutting Gray. Sorry.
Right. There's a lot of teams in this league that don't have a Travis Kelce as their number one, where Jody Fortson looks like a viable backup right now.
Yep. So, to me, I think I cut Blake Bell with the caveat and saying, look, we're bringing you back tomorrow, but we need the roster spot for a day. You'll have your same contract. Nothing will change on your end. You're just cut for a day. And I really don't think he'd have a problem with that.
I don't either. And at the end of the day, when you're talking about versatility.
He's a vested vet. Right. Sorry. And that's the key, is he doesn't go through that waiver system.
Yeah. So. And it's super easy. It's simple. And at the end of the day, the more valuable thing is the more rounded athlete. And right now, and I think Jody's shown his progress in blocking. It's not caught up to his pass catching ability. He's still a better pass catcher than he is a blocker, but he's not at such a deficit. And he plays special teams. Dave Tobe singled him out. I think that, you know, Bell's played special teams in the past as well. And so you're nearly at a point now where overall skill sets are about even, given the disparities in what they're doing. I think it makes it tough. If there's three, I think it's Fortson, but it could be four as well. And so that takes us to the other group. If you're going to have 10 pass catchers, did someone either earn themselves a spot for you or lose themselves a spot in the wide receiver group?
You know, people were asking me about Fountain and his special teams play. I did look at the snaps. It does look like he played a little bit of special teams, but he didn't stick out. And that's really where you're going to struggle, is if you're not sticking out on special teams. Doesn't matter where you're playing on special teams. It matters if you are able to make some kind of play. And they have different film than we have, so obviously they're going to be able to see what exactly they're doing, know if they're supposed to be, know if they're where they're supposed to be. Now, Fountain did come down with the onside kick. Great for him. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry. I don't think that that's necessarily meaning he's going to make the team. I was very happy to see Kemp get the touchdown. I thought that was a great catch and a great job using his body to shield him the ball away from the defender and to hold on to the ball.
Yeah, I agree. I think Kemp was already on the roster again because of the special teams. So my problem comes down to, I see four guys in front of Fountain. I don't see a fifth guy, you know, obviously with Kemp being the sixth. I don't see a fifth guy that's in front of him on this roster.
Okay, so you're calling Fountain the fifth wide receiver?
Yep, because he's not a core special team player.
And I guess that's fair. I think I see Kemp above him personally, just because of the way Kemp gets in the ballgame more than Fountain. I think that the team sees him above him. And maybe you're right. Maybe he is the sixth, but it doesn't matter because he's the core special teams guy and he's going to be on the team regardless. So my question is are they going to keep five or are they going to keep six? If they keep five, it's got to be Kemp.
Yeah.
If they keep six, maybe it's Fountain, but the dark horse is still Powell. Are they going to give up on somebody that they drafted?
I don't think it's a horse at all. I think they have to give up on him because he's shown them absolutely nothing.
Well, and I don't disagree with you, but the Chiefs have at times kept their draft picks as opposed to cutting them when they probably should have.
There's that.
Yeah, so I think that could lend them to doing that. Now, the other question becomes when you start looking at the offense, some people were asking if Bouchel played himself on the roster. I don't think he did. I think he played well at certain times, but I don't think he's ready for having to be on the roster. I think that they can get him on the practice squad and they'll be able to do whatever they want with him. And maybe he's their guy going forward in a year or two, but I don't think it's going to be this year. Henny's got that job, and I don't think they're keeping more than two quarterbacks, especially with his problems late in the game. That pitch was brutal, and then the interception wasn't much better.
Yeah, agreed. So really, that brings us to, is it 9 or 10 offensive linemen that fit in with all those groups? So this is going to be up in the air. We'll give you guys our rundown on offense tomorrow as we do our 53. So if we look at the defensive side.
Before we go defensive – before we go defense, we need to talk about running backs.
No, we don't.
Okay, fair enough. You think there's only you think they're keeping three or four?
Four with Burton.
Three tails
and a fullback.
Yeah. Now, if you're going to keep a fourth, who would you keep?
Gore.
Me too. I really liked what I saw from Gore. And I think the vision on his touchdown run showed a lot. And honestly, I think that his touchdown run actually helped Fortson as well, because it showed that Fortson's going to still try to work downfield and help his guys. And he was trying to block and get in the way and carve a hole. So
it also confirmed to me that Shepard and French will be the practice squad wide receivers.
Fair enough.
Because French was out there leading it as well.
Yeah, good throw. He was.
Okay, so now on the defensive side, who stood out to you?
Honestly, it's more of guys that didn't stand out to me. Alex Okafor getting in there with the starters did nothing. I mean, he got, I guess, a little bit of push, but nothing compared to what you would have hoped that he could have, like, produced, especially for as much as he was in there. And, yes, I know he's going against the ones, but you still need production out of that guy, and he didn't do it. So that concerned me. And then you start getting into the other guys. Harris came in before Ward did, and that kind of surprised me. I don't really know. It's really hard to know on the defensive line. Obviously, we know who the D tackles are. I'm really glad that we saw Naughty play finally, even though I didn't really see anything that was great. He did bust through the line, and he got held, and that was a great play by him. But other than that, I really didn't think that there was anything that stood out. But him getting in the game and getting snaps and getting used to that is good.
Yeah. I thought Saunders looked good. I thought Wharton looked fine. Those four are done. I agree with you. Like, it didn't surprise me about Damone Harris because I saw him against the Cardinals and felt that he actually played more substantially solid snaps than Ward. I thought Ward had flashes. He also had some, you know, problems. I think right now, overall, I think Damone Harris is a better player than both Kando and Tim Ward. The question is, do they keep that for current status, or do they look at upside and who can grow this season? Because I would think you'd have to give that to Kando and then Ward.
Yeah, and that was exactly where I was going to go with that question is, you know, when you got done, I was going to ask, do you go with what you think you have now, or do you go with guys that could give you upside? Because I don't think that you've seen what Damone Harris can do. He's been here, what, 3 years now? So you know what he is. Ward is new. I mean, he was here last year, but he only got 1 year playing, and then the year before that he was injured. So I think he's still on the upside. Kando, I was impressed with his fumble recovery. I thought it was almost an interception. I mean, there was good hustle play on his part. And I have to say this. I know we already talked about Saunders. I really didn't like that penalty called on him. No, I thought that was kind of – yeah, well, I thought it was silly for it to be called. Not necessarily silly on his part because I don't think he really was trying to hurt the guy. I think he was just playing through the whistle and was already started. So
I'll tell you the call that I did like, though, is Ed Hockley's son. False start the entire offensive line. Yeah,
that was great.
Well done,
that
Sean.
Was good. Thank you very much for the laughter in the game. That was good. Right. I did enjoy that. What do you think of the linebackers?
Really happy with where Willie Gay is. Not just his intensity on the field, but his intensity off the field as he's watching. I like that carrying through. I think this is the best fluidity we've seen from Anthony Hitchens so far in his stay in Kansas City. And I'm excited about what that means for the regular season.
How about Gay's stick on the running back out of the backfield in the red zone?
Yeah. I mean, that's what he's capable of, folks. You can cry Isaiah Simmons all you want. He's not Willie Gay. And I think that stood out against Arizona, like what Simmons was able to do versus what Willie did this last game. Like, I think it's very disparate, to tell you the truth. So I'm excited about that. I thought Bolton was in solid position. I thought he and Neiman are clearly the backups. The question to me is, when they took them out and they went back to base and they brought in Harris, Cobb, and DOD, honestly, it looked like Cobb to me was the guy that stood out the most. And then they took him off and then they brought him back in later, but it seemed like he got fewer snaps, and I don't know if that's saving him or if that's that he hadn't earned them or it's just the set. I don't know. But I'm really interested to see who won that fifth linebacker spot because I think that's all they keep.
It's got to be Dorian and Daniel.
Yeah. Cobb's faster. You muted yourself.
Thank you.
Wasn't even me this time.
Yeah, I know. I can't blame you this time. No, honestly, I think that Dorian O'Daniel is going to be on this team, and it's mainly because of his special teams play. It's not because I think he really gives you something on defense. I don't think he does. Amari Cobb, I think, should be the guy, although I could make an argument for Darius Harris as well. But the thing that sticks out to me is rewatching that game last night, the very first snap, the kickoff, who's in the middle of the field covering the kick? It's Dorian O'Daniel. And I think that's going to ruin the roster spot. I don't think – Tobe is going to probably lose out at other positions this year as well. So I think that's also going to play into it. So to me, I do think that it has to be Dorian O'Daniel, because I do think that Tobe is going to lose out specifically on probably our next group when it comes to the corners.
Lose out who is my question, though.
Bo Pete Keys.
You don't think he's going to make it? So that means you're thinking five corners is all it is. Baker's yep. number five.
Yep, and Baker really doesn't play special teams. I mean, he was in there on special teams, but he doesn't really play special teams. So to me, that means you're basically losing a guy there. Rashad Fitton's going to be coming back, and he'll play special teams. But if you're not going to have Bo Pete Keys, you still need guys that can play and can play special teams. So to me, that means that you have to have a guy like Dorian O'Daniel.
Okay, so then you have a dedicated linebacker spot, basically. But that also means that you have to have a fifth safety. Am I counting correctly?
It's tough. I really don't know where they're going to go. Are you going to have a fifth safety, or are you going to have – well, and that's if they go even. Are they going to go even? Or is it going to be 25 and 25, or is it going to be 26 on offense, 24 on defense? Or I can't imagine to be flip-flopped with 24 on offense and 26 on defense, but –
I can't either. But sometimes your camera goes out and there's nothing you can do about it. So, you know, we'll get you another battery. But this is why it's a bonus episode, folks.
Seriously, this battery was like full when we started. So I have no idea how that happens.
It is what it is. The interesting thing for me, though, is I think it's probably even. I think that's probably what I'm going to do with my 53. And, folks, we'll have that tomorrow, like I said, but it's not done yet. Because I think there's thinness in terms of experience at all these positions that we talk about: defensive end, corner, offensive line, wide receiver, right? So there's things where volume there is good. So I think 25 and 25 is likely the way I'm going to go. But if there's only five corners, it means there's got to be five safeties. And judging by what the sets were last night, Zane Anderson is not in the top four, that it does appear that it's Armani Watts. Armani, to his credit, though I think this is more a lowering of the overall bar for the safety position rather than Armani like really upping his game. But he made the most of his snaps all preseason, a couple of interceptions in the right place, understands the defense. That's a significant advantage. Now, again, I'm concerned about that because whether it's him or it's Zane Anderson is the four, or even Devin Key that we saw earlier, who I think is destined for the practice squad, there's really only three safeties that you can trust to go up against the Cleveland Browns and the Buffalo Bills and the Titans and get things done. I think it's still a pretty thin safety position. If Armani's your number four, then that means you're actually worse than you were in 2020.
Can't disagree with that. And I think that that's really kind of scary from the perspective of how much they like to play three safety sets. So that's going to be a big question. And honestly, I apologize about saying that again. I do think that you sit here and you look at the safeties and maybe they do have to keep five, but I don't know that even keeping five is really going to help you there, because if you keep Zane Anderson or keep Key, what are they adding to the defense? They're really not adding to the defense right now. They're not ready to play, at least from what we've seen. So I think you're in a bad situation regardless. I think you may be having to look at the waiver wire to try to bring in somebody to add to that.
That's exactly what I think is going to be happening. And that takes me back to, I think they keep Keys and they keep six corners because the depth isn't worth the payoff at safety. You can easily get Zane Anderson to the practice squad. You could probably get Armani Watts there. I think they're going to take four and they're going to watch the wire. And if another veteran that they think can step in and play snaps in their scheme, if Juan or Sorensen has to miss time, I think that's going to be their goal.
Well, I almost wonder if Keys is going to be one of the odd men out that they cut, saying, hey, we'll bring you back tomorrow. Because I do think that there's possibly two offensive linemen they got to put on IR, and the only way you can do that and bring him back is to have him on the active roster. So to me, I think that Keys is a guy that you probably could cut, say, hey, we will bring you back to the active roster tomorrow, but we need the spots right now. And that's the way they go. So
it's going to be – So you're planning on keeping Blythe and LDT on the 53 initially?
I think you have to.
Okay. Well, that is something we will argue about tomorrow when we run down our 53s.
So what are you going to do otherwise? Blythe can't go to
Austin. I don't need Austin Blythe. I will release him tomorrow on our 53 as we run them down.
So you have him above, you have him below Alec Reddy then?
I do. At this point with the injury, I think you can let him go. He might get picked up somewhere, but hurt, I think you'll have the opportunity to sign him back if you want him.
Fair enough.
So
that's it.
We're going to have a bonus. Right? We're going to have a lot more arguments tomorrow as we combine our 53 takes into the Locked On Chiefs 53 that should last a day or two until they start making their decisions. But for a special bonus that's kind of strange, thank you guys for hanging out with us. Chris, thanks for making the time. And folks, we'll be back with you normal time Sunday evening on the audio. Follow YouTube after that and get ready because it's going to be kind of a whirlwind. Thank you for watching this one. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.